morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
I tell you, Brother Tristan did a wonderful job leading the song service. He was beating the beat with his hand and was pitching them well, and I was proud of him. Very, very good, very good. Y'all have a lot to be proud of in Brother Tristan. And who's the other song leader? Is he not here? I understand.
He's basking in Tristan's youth.
I understand that you just kind of hid all day yesterday and Friday. You didn't let yourself be known. I said all song leaders come up here and let's and you I'll get another shot at you. When your pastor called me and told me that y'all were thinking about doing a little thing in school and wanted to know if I'd be interested in coming out and teaching some, I was overjoyed, number one, because of my love for your pastor and his family. I used to get to see them every year, at least once a year, and we're not able to do that anymore. The little singing school down in Alabama doesn't go anymore. So I was rejoicing within myself. Oh boy, get to be with Brother Paul and Sonia and his family. And we got to talking about Thursday through Saturday and what we're going to do. And I said, hallelujah, I get to hear Brother Paul preach again. And then he pulled it on me. No, he asked if I would preach. And so I got a little bit disappointed because I love to hear the brother preach. Nobody I've ever heard turns on the power and the demonstration of the Lord like Elder Paul Blair. And y'all are blessed to have him here at this church. So I wanted to kind of preface that because I don't preach like Brother Paul. I am so thankful for him and his influence he's been in my life. Now, I'm not thankful for the pollen in Tennessee. Y'all got a lot of it, and I forgot about how much it affected me till it hit me maybe yesterday, and my voice started cracking up, and what's going on? My wife said, you know, the pollen's a little different out here than it is in Texas. I said, yes, it is, and it was starting to hit me, but... So bear with me. Is this mine? I've got two bottles. In the Psalms, the very first Psalm is very dear to me, and I'd like to read the first Psalm to you and make some comments about it. If the Lord be with us, and I'm thankful for the prayer, the humble prayer that went before, and all the comments and the encouragements been given to me. You have lifted me up and made me feel very good and comfortable here among you. And I knew coming to Tennessee, back to Tennessee, I lived out here 42 years, so I had a little bit of the understanding of the way y'all do things, and I was looking forward to being among the people of the Lord right here in this little town. Was very encouraged. Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the river of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. No doubt about it, it's a shell. I love the shells in the scripture. It's undoubtedly it's going to happen. It shall, the ungodly shall perish. All right, let's go back to the top. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Think about that. Do you know any people in your job situation, family, whatever, neighbors or whatever, fairly decent people, but they just don't walk in a godly manner? You do. I do too. What the psalmist David is telling us, blessed is the man that walketh, don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. And it didn't say don't be familiar with it or kind to them or show them the love in your heart, but don't walk in their counsel.
Yeah.
What's their counsel? Well, when you need advice, you want to talk to somebody about things you need to do, don't go to them, because
Amen.
They're not going to give you the right kind of advice. They may make a lot of money. They may wear fine clothes. That might be your boss at the job, but just because he's that way does not mean that he's got anything up on you when it comes to what the dealings of the Lord is.
Right.
So don't walk with them. Don't walk with them in the council. You can walk with them in everyday life, things that you do, but don't counsel with them. Ask them to give you life recommendations.
Right.
Then it says, don't stand, nor standeth in the way of sinners. Well, think about that. Don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Don't stand with them. In other words, if you're counseling with the ungodly and you stop and you stand, you're listening to them. You're right there. You're acknowledging them and they're talking to you. Don't do that. Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. What happens? You walk in the council, you stop and you stand, and then you sit down. You sit down right there with them. And believe me, brethren, if you do that in the counseling with the ungodly, it's going to rub off on you.
Right.
And I know for a fact that this happens. I was talking with some of the sister this morning, and she was asking me a little bit about my history and when did I come to Tennessee and what did I do. And so I was telling her a little bit about my experience. I was a musician and came out to Nashville with some friends. They were actually Primitive Baptist friends, and we came out here. They had a recording contract to make a record. I was 17. I didn't know nothing. My dad set me down and said, son, if you want to go to Nashville with these people, he knew them, he loved them. In fact, the father was a deacon in our church. These two young children, they was 14 and 9, they were country music singers. They could sing like Porter Wagner and Dolly Parton. I mean, they could just wear it out. So my dad said, son, if you think you're man enough to go out there on your own, go with them and live with them, you can go. Now, my dad was an ordained elder in the Primitive Baptist Church, and he pastored the church that I grew up with in. He said, but son, you can come back here to visit anytime. Anytime you want to, you can come home to visit. But you're not going to come home to live. If you think you're man enough to get out there on your own, you're going to have to do it. You're going to have to be a man, and you'll have to stand up to the world on your own. Come back and visit whenever you want to, but don't come back to stay. And you know, I thought that was pretty harsh, but that helped me a lot throughout the years, the 42 years. When I felt like, oh, I sure would like to run home to mom and dad and let them correct my problems. No, I had to stand on my own 2 feet, and it helped me. Anyway, I don't like to share a whole lot about this because it lets you know that I'm nothing but a sinner.
We already know that, brother.
Nothing but a sinner. Without the salvation of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I'd be nothing.
Right.
I'd have no right to stand here and try to preach to you about His unsearchable riches and His salvation.
That's right.
And what He has done for me and done for you. And you know, if you're here this morning, if you feel like that your life has been that way too, and you're just nothing but a sinner, amen. Hallelujah. I'm glad you're here. Because that's what we are. And if you feel that way, let me tell you, brothers, sisters, that means that you are one of His children.
Yeah.
That means you are a child of God. If you're sorrowful for your sins and you wish things were different, it's because the Lord has put His love in your heart.
Amen.
You He has quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, quoting the second chapter of Ephesians. He's quickened you. He's made your heart anew. And let you know that He loves you.
Yes.
That's what you're feeling. Now I know most of you know that's what you got. What got going on? But maybe you're here today and you don't really understand what it is about how this salvation, this eternal salvation, came about. You know, it's all by the blood of Jesus Christ, and everybody can agree to that.
Yeah.
But without the quickening power of the Holy Ghost, you're not anything. You've got to be, as Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again.
Yeah.
Nicodemus says, well, what do you mean? That don't make any sense. How does a man go into his mother's womb again? That doesn't make any sense. He said, let's just go there. What is that? Third chapter of John?
Yeah.
My quotalizer, just like my breathalyzer, my quotalizer sometimes is not really accurate. So I hate to try to quote the scriptures and get any just a little bit of it wrong. I don't like to do that. So let's just read here and see what Christ, our Savior Jesus Christ, tells Nicodemus about His salvation. Now, Nicodemus doesn't quite understand what's going on here.
Right.
You know, he's not really getting it. But anyway, listen. Third chapter of John. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This guy was up in the rankings with the Jewish people. A ruler of the Jews. So he had to think, I'm in a pretty good place in the status of the Jewish people. We're the children of God. We're the chosen of God. And I'm a ruler. He had to think a whole lot of himself. The same came to Jesus by night. Now, wait a minute. Why did he come at night? He didn't want any of his friends and fellow Jew people to know that he was going to see this Jesus Christ. Because there was a lot of turmoil about Jesus Christ. Jesus said He's the King of the Jews. And the Jewish hierarchy, the Pharisees and Sadducees, they didn't want none of that. But Nicodemus was feeling a little different. And he came to see Jesus at night. He snuck in there. And he said, Rabbi, we know that Thou art a teacher come from God. Nicodemus knew that this is a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that Thou doest except God be with him. He's telling Christ, I believe that you're from God. You must be God. God's with you, is what he's saying. Jesus answered unto him, answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say to thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus kind of was taken back. What are you talking about? Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again." Now, Jesus is going to tell Nicodemus and you and me and anyone else that reads this how you're born again.
Amen.
He's going to tell you right here how it happens.
That's right.
"The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit."
Amen.
The Spirit's like the wind. It's just blowing around. And you're not going to know when it comes. You're not know where it comes from, where it goeth. But you're going to feel it in your heart.
Yes, sir.
When the Lord plants His love in your heart, it's just an amazing thing. And I know y'all can say amen to that.
That's right.
Nicodemus answered and said unto him, "How can these things be?" Jesus said unto him, "Art thou master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I had told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life."
Amen.
You know, if you believeth in something, you're already believing about it.
Yeah.
That's a past tense statement right there. If you believe that in the Christ, you're already His. You're already Him. "Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life." If you're believing now in Jesus Christ, it's because you have eternal life.
Right.
You're not believing in order to obtain eternal life.
Right.
You can't believe unless you've been born of that Spirit. You don't have the ability or the knowledge to understand what's going on. And if you believe, you're already His. And you should rejoice in that very fact.
Amen.
And then, you know, and I love John 3:16. The world loves it, and they like to chew it up and spit it out and make it say this, that, and all the other. But let's read it. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him," whosoever believes in Him, already believing,
that's right,
"should not perish, but have everlasting life." If you're believing in Him, you have everlasting life.
Amen.
Already. The believing is not making that happen. "For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved."
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of salvations mentioned in the Bible too.
Yeah.
Huh? Did you know that?
Yeah.
Just because if you pull the word out, saved, it's not always talking about eternity.
Right.
Sometimes it's talking about other things.
Yeah.
There's a salvation in believing in Christ. There's a salvation in rising up, following Him in baptism, being baptized and rising up and walking newness of life. You're saved.
Yeah.
You're saved from this world.
Yeah.
You're saved from the ones that you don't want to walk around with.
Right.
Yeah. There were 8 people saved in the Old Testament. You know who I'm talking about.
Yes.
Noah and his sons, daughter-in-laws, and his wife.
Yep.
They were all saved by the ark. By the ark. They were told to get in that ark. The Lord said, "Get in the ark because it's going to rain." They were obedient to the Lord, and they got on that ark, and they were saved.
Yep.
You know what they were saved from? Drowning.
That's right.
They were saved. So there's an example of salvation that wasn't necessarily eternal salvation.
Right.
We can be saved from a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
We can be saved from the sin of this world
yeah.
by not partaking. Not
Amen.
Not by sitting down, not by walking with those people, not by standing with those people or sitting down with them and wallowing in the mud
yes,
with
sir.
Them. You know, that's what happens to you if you do that. I was out here, I started this story, and I hesitate sometimes to tell this story, but anyway, I was moved to Nashville, Tennessee, and I was 17, and boy, I thought I was really hot stuff because we've gotten a contract in Nashville. I wasn't the performer, the kids were, 14 and 9 years old, but I was kind of backed him up, kind of as a third part, and I was really full of myself. I said, this is really something else. And they did the recording, and it was a flop. It didn't do any good. So they weren't making any money. So their mom and dad said, kids, we need to go home. They said, Gary, you want to go home with us? I said, no, I've already found friends here. I'm going to stay. I had turned 18 years old then, and I had found the Bethel Primitive Baptist Church there in Nashville, who did a great, the biggest church in Tennessee. Biggest church in Tennessee. Maybe not quite so, there may be a few others that had more, but they had the reputation of being the largest church in Tennessee. And I started going there, and here this great big Primitive Baptist Church did not have one song leader. I said, that's crazy. So I got to thinking, maybe that's why I've come out here, is to help this church with their singing. And so I jumped in there and became their song leader and helping the brethren, their couple of brethren there was trying, helping them, encourage them to get up and lead. And it worked. We had to, we turned it into, see there I go, we. We, me, myself, and I know the Lord blessed it.
Right.
The Lord turned it into something.
Yeah.
And by His help and love, that church, they started singing better, and their song leaders, and it was just, it was glorious. And I was really thought that that might have been my reason for coming to Tennessee. But anyway, there was a couple of young men that were members there, and they were musicians too. So we got to talking to each other, and well, let's put a. I didn't have anybody to play music with, so we decided we'll all play music together, and we ended up there being four of us. So we started doing that, and we all agreed, you know, we're Primitive Baptists, and we're not going to go play in the beer joints or the nightclubs. We all agreed that we shouldn't do that, but we could play for the schools, we could do the proms, we could do. Stage shows, county fairs, and so we agreed that's what we'll do, and we started doing that, and we were kind of walking around in the council of the ungodly, because there were people telling us, you know, you guys got a pretty sharp thing going on, and y'all pretty good, you ought to do this, you ought to go over here to this nightclub. And they'll pay you a lot of money if you'll come in there and play. And we said, well, we don't know if we should do that. And they go, well, what are you talking about? I said, well, we don't think that'd be really the right thing to do. But don't you see the money you can make?
Yeah.
He kind of jungled it up in front of us. The money. I said, well, you know, money's not bad. So we decided, well, you know what? We can go in there and we can play. We don't have to participate in what they're doing. We can go in there, play music, and entertain them, and it's not going to affect us. Brethren, we were wrong.
Right.
We went in there and started walking around in the council of the ungodly. And these people started telling us how great we were and what we were doing, and they said, sit down here with us. What did it say? Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. And that's what we did. We sat down in the seat of the scornful. And that stuff started rubbing off on me. We stood there. We walked around. And we sat down. And before I knew it, it had rubbed all over me. And it was, I'm glad that the Lord woke me up one day, because that can turn into some bad stuff.
Yeah.
And you know, I don't want to disillusion you, but you know, there's a, I got to know a lot of people and a lot of those entertainers and around them, and you know, you see them on TV, you know, might listen to them singing I'll Fly Away. How great is that? I can't listen to them, because I know most of those people, and I know who they are. You know, I know who they really are. They're making money because that's what they do to make money. But they're not really good people. Sixth chapter of John. I'll stop with that. Sorry that I brought that up. But let's look real quick at before we go to the sixth chapter of John, James. In the first chapter of James, I just want to pull out one verse, the 27th verse. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their afflictions, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Brethren, I was getting spotted all over the place. Let me pick up my... That's my notes, you know, in case I... You know, if you want to keep your clothes unspotted, you don't want to get mud on it or whatever, and it rains, don't walk over to the curb and stand there and expect not to get splashed on when the car goes by.
Right.
If you get up next to the mud, it's going to get on you. If you don't want to be spotted by the sin of this world, don't walk up there next to it. Don't sit down with it. Don't be communicating with those people. Just want to point that out. Let's go to the sixth chapter of John, and I'll try to... Let's go to the 37th verse of the 6th chapter of John. And this is the Lord again speaking. He's speaking about those that are going to be born again or are born again. And what happens to them? Our Savior says, "All that the Father giveth me." How many?
All.
All. All that the Father gave him. That's every one, isn't it? Is anybody left out? All that the Father giveth me shall. There's that word again. That means it's going to happen. Shall come to me. And he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. If you come to me, I know that you were sent here by the Father. I'm not going to cast you out, because the Father has gave you to me.
Right.
For, because I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me. Here it is right here. Here's God's will that sent him, plain and simple.
Right.
That all which he hath given me, all that he's done what? All that he has given me, all that the Lord has given me, this is the Father's will, I should lose just a few.
No.
I should lose nothing. Not anything.
Amen.
But should raise it up again at the last day.
Amen.
And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son, everyone that can see the Son, see Jesus Christ as who he is, that seeth the Son and believeth on him. You can't believe on him unless you've already been given his love. May have eternal everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day.
Yeah.
How many of them?
All of them.
Every one of them. That who gave him? God gave him.
Right.
They're all going to be with him in the last day when the trumpet blows, and we all shall bust out of the grave, or if we're still alive, we're going to... we'll see all that happen. And wouldn't you like to see that?
Yeah.
This cemetery right here, if the Lord was coming back and the trumpet was blowing and them headstones were just flying every which way and the Lord's people were coming out, they'd be given a new body. And wouldn't you like to see that? And then we that remain are going to be joined together with him. Where? Up in the air. Up in the air. We're not going to go down here and build a kingdom somewhere.
No.
Build a throne for Jesus
right.
Christ to sit on, so we can also the whole world, so that people can have another chance to love Jesus Christ. It's not going to be. If they're his people, they're going to be some of the ones going up in the air. We don't need to hang around. We're going to go, and where are we going to go? We're going to be with him forever.
Yeah.
Forever
right.
We'll be where? With the Lord.
Amen.
What could be a better place to be?
No,
I can't tell you what it's going to be like. They talk about mansions in heaven. And all, you know, it would be nice to have a nice pool and all this kind of stuff. But I don't know. I don't know what it's going to be like. But I know it's going to be better than anything we know on this earth. And we're going to be content and we're going to be happy. And I'm not worried about who my wife will be. I'll love my wife just as much as I love you. We'll all love each other. We're the Lord's people.
Right.
And we'll get to sing. And guess who's going to sing with us? All the angels are going
That's
to sing
right.
with us. And there's no night. We're going to sing all day long if we want to.
Yeah.
Whatever we want to do. But we're going to be giving God the praise, Jesus Christ, all the praise and the glory and the honor for his salvation, which he gave to us. He didn't have to get one of us. He didn't have to save one of us. He didn't have to do that. Because we all were dead in trespasses and sins. And that's why he came down here to redeem us, to save us from all of that. All of that stuff, this fleshly stuff that we are, the filth that we are. He washed it away. I think in Titus it says, by the washing of regeneration by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. They all work together. And you might say they had a scheme or a plan. I don't care what you say how about it. You can call it anything you want to. But they worked together, and their goal was to redeem their people. And who were their people? All that the Father gave him to
Amen.
Jesus Christ is their people. And they're all going to be saved eternally.
Amen.
Now, you can be saved in this world by doing the right thing, or you can be condemned. You can do the wrong thing, and you're not going to be blessed for that. And you'll feel condemned. You'll feel bad about your sin. But you know what? You can repent of your sins that you have now. You can come back and say, you know, I've messed up and I was sinning. Y'all help me, forgive me. And yet the church will say, brethren, love, we love you. Come in. The Lord saved you.
Yes, sir.
Saved in spite of your faults.
Right.
When God looks at you, he's going to see the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's all he's going to see. So don't worry about it. Come back in here and fellowship with us. Let's sing. Let's do the thing that the Lord wants us to do.
That's right.
You know what? And that's a good place to stop. We just need to do what the Lord wants us to do. And everything will be all right.
Amen.
Thank y'all for having me here. And maybe I'll get to come back someday and hear Elder Blair preach, because he's probably one of my favorite ministers that I've been around. Brother Blair, come up and finish this off. And help me get off of this stuff.
Yes, sir.
You drop a battery there that might run out. Happened to that new pacemaker? You know, I had so many thoughts. Brother Gary stirred me up. I hope y'all were thinking. But I thought of this scripture. I thought a bunch of scriptures, but this one particular scripture. Paul, in the 6th chapter of Hebrews, he says, we're going to leave the principles of the doctrine of Christ. Let us go on into perfection. He says, we're not going to lay again the foundation of repentance from dead works, faith towards God, doctrine of baptism, laying on the hands of resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. He said, and we're going to move on, if God permit. And then he goes on and talks about some of those that had fallen away. But in verse 9, he says, but beloved, we're persuaded better things of you, and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. You know, there's a salvation that Jesus brought and gives, and that's that eternal salvation. But there are some things that the born-again child of God has and is expected to accompany that salvation. And that's not sitting in the seat of the scornful and walking in the path of sinners and taking counsel from the ungodly. You got it?
Amen.
So we can see that there are some, there's a thing that you can't exercise something that you don't have.
Amen.
You can't exercise a muscle you don't have, and you can't exercise faith if you don't have it.
Amen.
And if you've got faith, that means because God authored it in you. And if God authored it in you, he expected you to exercise it.
Work
Amen?
It.
That's right. Work it out. Now, God lets you know that you're his, don't he? God sends his spirit into your heart. The witness that the spirit gives witnesses with your spirit that you're a child of God. And when that happens, you cry out, Abba, Father. He wrote his laws into your mind and put them in your heart. And in another place in Hebrews says he put them in your mind and wrote them in your heart. And that's how God authors that law and that faith in you. And when God does that, there are some things that accompany that salvation. Because when God puts his laws into your mind and writes them in your heart, you want to do good, don't you? You want to do good. How many times? That's what the Apostle Paul said when, Saul of Tarsus, when God struck him down. God changed his heart. God born him again, I believe, on the road. And he says, and the very first thing that Saul of Tarsus said was, who art thou, Lord?
Hey, amen.
And what would you have me to do? My friends, when God authors that faith in you, when God writes his laws into your mind, you understand that you're subject to him and that he is your Lord.
Amen.
And when he is your Lord, you want to serve him. You want to please him. Paul says, you've made me your child. Now, what are some things that accompany that salvation? And God didn't tell him. He didn't tell him, it don't matter. Just do whatever you wanted to. He gave him some stuff to do.
Amen.
Paul knew that there was something for him to do. What's God calling you to do? You know, Jesus walked around 70 miles to be baptized to John. Did Jesus need to be baptized?
No.
I tell you what. In one sense, no. And in another sense, yes.
Yeah.
You know, there wasn't anything that Jesus needed to repent of, but he needed to be baptized. Why? Because it fulfilled all righteousness. It was fitting for righteousness' sake that Jesus be baptized. He didn't have any sins to repent of. And it was so important to Jesus that he walked 70 miles. That's about the distance from here to Memphis. Y'all want to walk to Memphis to be baptized? Jesus did. You don't have to walk to Memphis. Here's a place right here. And the doors of the church are open for you to do that today. And start living what you've been given. Start producing those things in your life that accompany salvation.
Amen.
May the Lord bless you is my prayer. Thank you so much, Brother Gary, for coming. We love you.
Love y'all.
You are welcome here anytime. You always have been, but now you got a not only a standing appointment, but you're more than welcome to come back anytime on your way when you're traveling east.
As long as my wife can bring me, we'll be here.
Amen. God bless y'all.